Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Inside Lion Athletics is ready to go. Charlie Chitwood here with you, and we are right after it. Time to talk football. Football ended a couple of weeks
Never
ago.
ends.
It
Never
never ends,
ends.
though. Clint Dalzell to join us, and you've already been busy out on the recruiting trails and cleaning things up around the house so they can come visit, too.
That's right. We're putting in some work. We had a good group come in last week of 15 recruits came in last week, really liked what we had in there, and got a few to already sign out of that bunch, and we're going to try to put the pressure on them to get the signing over tomorrow, because we've got a new batch coming in, and it's what's available is what we're going to take. And we're excited with the numbers we brought in and the quality of players we brought in too.
How much of a difference is it making when you guys can tell them there's no more restrictions, we're playoff eligible? It's all of that stuff that we had to hold off on before.
Yeah, we're full tilt, and that's what we're telling everybody. That's what we're putting on, out there for our brand is, we're fully invested in being D1 and from the school side, from the sports side, and from the money side. So we're excited with that, and we're looking to make a push to win the conference. That's what we're always our goal is, and then playoffs are after that, and see what happens.
Coach, when you were recruited there wasn't supposed to be any money, but now everybody expects you to have money to offer them. What are the conversations with the student athletes? How different are they now?
It really depends on where they come from, honestly. A lot
Okay.
of them, we're really hitting the Cali JUCOs where they're not used to getting, money. So you start with those guys and see what kind of talent you got there, because JUCO scholarships are not a thing in Cali. They don't have that. And then you go to your Texas and Mississippi's and your Kansas and a few other smaller colleges around that after that to hit JUCO wise. And we're really, pushing on them to say, hey, you got the opportunities there. We graduated 26, players from last year. So, the biggest thing for us is pushing, get your feet on the grass. You can come here and have an opportunity to start right away, where if you're going to potentially a bigger school, potential FBS type stuff, where, yeah, they may be offering you a tad more money, but are you going to get on the grass, have the opportunity to get on the grass? A lot of times they're recruiting, JUCOs and portal guys for, depth. If you're going to bigger schools, where we're coming here for, we're preaching, you got a chance to start because we graduated so many, and, where we're heading is, in a good place.
So you get those guys in, and then you've got a little bit left to go see what your needs remain when the portal's opened up.
Yep, January 2nd through the 16th is the portal, which is a small window. It'll be get them in, get them out, really, grade them fast, in those first couple of days, and start flying them in. The guys we want, the guys that we have money saved for, which we will. We talked off air, probably five positions we'll try to save some money for scholarship wise, and revenue share money that we're going to use for NIL. So we're excited to have that opportunity to be able to put a little money in these guys' pockets, and again, still selling the fact that, hey, you're getting to come in and put your feet on the grass and start, where that's where you get looked at. If your goal is to make the NFL, we put in seven or eight guys the last 3 years, at least got into camps and one draft. Mm-hmm. So, opportunity is real here, and it always has been at East Texas.
Coach, some of the portal gets last year was such a different season because when they set the roster limits and you had all those extra guys in there, are you expecting the portal to be as full of people as it was last year?
And more so. Yeah. We've had several jump in there, and we've really, the guys that we want back, we really tried to explain to them how hard it is, coming from, a FCS school, and even harder when you're D2 and below, unless you're an all conference type player at FCS and below, you're going to have a hard time getting in there, because there is going to be a lot of portal guys from FBS get in there that want opportunities to, maybe we're a second or third string guy at FBS school, and now they want to get a chance to get their feet on the grass and get a chance to play and show their talents and not just, possibly collecting a check behind somebody, and that's the end of your career. I mean, if that's what you're after, we don't want you here anyway. We want guys that want to play.
Tell us a little bit about the coaches. Who's scattered out where on the map going looking for these guys? I think
Not
most
right
of it's
now.
around the DFW area because you're bringing them to campus.
Yeah, we're that's not this mode this time of year. We are watching film with everybody who got in from, NAIA to JUCO to Division II to, obviously FCS players can't get in there, FBS players can't get in there. So that's what we've been looking at. Guys that can help us now. The high school is, right now is not a thing. That's been there, done that. That's more of a after spring ball. That's when we hit the road and really get out there and put our foot in the ground and get our brand out there to the high schools. Those kids have been really hurt through this portal and through the NIL deal of, it's hard to take high school kids. If you look at a lot of rosters, not many people were signed by, especially, FCS or our conference for high school kids, because, you got to win now, and does it do any good to bring in a high school kid that, is going to sit on the bench and learn for 2.5 years, and all of a sudden he has a good spring after it's time for him to play and he jumps in the portal anyway? That's money we could have used somewhere else to bring in a JUCO player that's had experience, that's been playing, a portal guy that, is looking for that shot from an FBS school. So, we really had to do some studying, and that's a learning process over the years too, since I've been here year one. We've kind of slowly climbed through that. It's changed every year, and we've had to adapt to it every year as well.
That's one thing to go into work with a new rule book, and then they hand you a new one after every season.
Every it seems like every semester it changes. So, yeah, it's a ongoing deal, and hopefully they're going to settle down on some things here, next year or so.
All right. Coaching staff, you gonna have any additions to that to mention, or
Yeah,
we've
we
still
will.
got some things we gotta wait on?
We will have to wait on them. We'll probably, three positions. Honestly, we're gonna move around on and make some moves. That'll come out here in the next week or so. So, yeah, excited where that's going. You obviously saw where, Jim and Dr. Rudin, blustered my coaching staff, money, so I can go out and get some more, better coaching, honestly. Not that, my guys didn't do a good job. I think we've done a lot with what we've had here, and we're only going to get better, and we're going to be able to add a few pieces to some spots. And when that opens up, it's no different for coaching and players. It's kind of like a portal for coaches too. And once you open it up, there's a lot of guys looking to, come up, from D2 to D1, and JUCOs, guys that are we've known over the years that now with a little more money can come in now and coach for us. So, no, it's an exciting time right now, and it's a fun time to be, an East Texas line and coaching staff as well, and know that we're not far off. Last year was again record-wise disappointing, but again we're so close in all the ball games, in our conference for sure. And if you look at every FCS opponent, there's not much difference between us and them that we played this year. And we're going to have a better roster, even, more so, and a better coaching staff going into next year.
The schedule next year, perhaps a little bit less daunting, at least your FBS games.
No doubt. Yeah, we were playing Tulsa instead of Florida State and SMU. That's obviously, they're an FBS team, and they're willing to pay us to come in and play them. And hopefully we can give them the same game like we've done in the past for a few teams. Obviously, the only one we've kind of got run out on was Florida State, but everybody else we played pretty solid, in those games. And yeah, we're definitely happy with that. It looks like we've got Mercer to start off, who, had a first round bye this year, and then Stephen F.
Oops.
Austin. Yeah, Stephen F. Austin is our second game. So it's a tough start for us, but we're going to be a little better, team, obviously, when we put our foot on the grass, starting week zero against Mercer at Mercer. And then, when we come home against Stephen F. Austin, hopefully give a good showing there and get us our first conference win.
All right, nothing wrong with beating Colby right out of the bottle.
Not at all.
We
Love
love him, but not on game day.
him. Yeah.
All right, man, it's good to visit. Hey, next time stick around longer at a basketball game and we can visit at halftime sometime.
Love to, but it is tough times right now. After January, I can't wait to sit down and relax and watch some basketball with you.
All right, man, sounds good. Let's line up here. And coach, thanks for your time. Go get
You
them.
bet. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Some more Inside Lion Athletics. We've got head coach Valerie King joining us now. Coach, that was an interesting tilt on Saturday afternoon, wasn't it? Just forget the basketball. It was, can we tell what the score is? Can we see how much time we have left to shoot? That was, there was a lot going on in the first half of that game, on and off the court.
Yeah, I actually almost forgot all about it. So,
So, post game with the team and what y'all learned from the Abilene Christian match. What do you think?
I think we've got to put, a full game together. I think we were good and really good in spurts, throughout the Abilene game. And I just think we had too many possessions on both ends of the floor that were just, subpar, where we were taking quick shots, a bad shot, a shot out of offensive rhythm, and then on the defensive end, not, just not clear on our defensive assignments. So I think we had too many, miscommunications on that. And, when you play a team like Abilene, they capitalize on that stuff. So those are things we've got to shrink down, and get to, get closer to a 40-minute game.
Southeastern, or excuse me, McNeese, they look a lot like Southeastern did last year. What, 12 out of 15 played in Hammond last year for the new coach who is there at Gazzardo? No, that's the
Yep.
assistant.
No, that's correct.
Anyway, you're going from one defensive team to another one, just in different uniforms.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, McNeese or Southeastern, Ayla, they've always, they are a tough defensive team, really guard you. So we'll see a lot of the same that we saw last Saturday. Hopefully that was Saturday was a good punch in the gut for us to, be able to see some pressure, some defense trying to take us out of what we want to do on the offensive end. But, we've got to be stronger with the ball. We've got to be able to run our stuff, and still get the shot that we want.
It's going to be interesting to see how your new guards make things different on those new cowgirls down there. It's got Jalencia Pierre. She's been all conference for what, 2 years at least. It'll be good to see her with some real fight against her. We had
Yeah,
pretty good push back before, but it's better this year.
I mean, Pierre is, one of the best point guards in the league. She's quick, she's feisty. She can get downhill and go lay it in. She runs their team. I think she's the heartbeat of their team. So, obviously a big defensive matchup for us. And we'll obviously we've got two or three kids that, we will rotate on her, to try to get her slowed down, at least under control. I don't know if you can slow her down, but at least get her under control, and stay in front of her in the half court.
And then, of course, the player that she went from Nichols to Southeastern to get on a program that was headed in the right direction. And then the whole program turned out it was pointed towards Lake Charles. So, but your front court is a bit more stout.
Yeah, I mean they start Alexander, then they're starting a freshman there at the, I would say, four or five. They're very interchangeable there, super physical both of them, and even the two kids they bring off the bench, super physical post players. We're going to have to be able to guard in the high post. They love to get those high post catches and rip drives there. So we've got to do our job there, being able to guard them, but also being super physical in the post. And not letting them just get easy layups throughout the game.
Nylock Dak can help you out there. I can't remember whether she played in one or both of the Southeastern games a year ago against these players.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember either, Charlie. I'd
All
have
right,
to go
she'll help
back and
out
look.
now.
I'd have to go back and look. But you know, Nylock's has taken a big step in the last 7 to 8 days. Has been really stringing some good practices together. She gave us really good minutes against Abilene with I think she had 7 or 8 rebounds in the 12 or 13 minutes she played. I mean, obviously that's what we need out of her. And hopefully be able to push her for some more minutes as well.
All right, you get this conference matchup. It'll be your second of the young season. And then on Monday, you get a date with Texas Southern, 10:30 in the morning. Is that one? Have we got a coffee sponsor for that game, Coach?
Might need one.
Need one for the podcast sometime. Have you any look ahead to that one, or are you just taking care of
Yeah, I
McNeese?
mean,
First
McNeese has
and
been
foremost.
on, prepping McNeese. We'll get to Texas Southern here shortly.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll let you go get after them. You've got a road trip to make here. Y'all are heading out tomorrow, I expect.
That's
Time to
correct.
shoot around Friday morning.
Yep, we'll get down there and practice tomorrow and then have our shoot around Friday.
All right. Well, we will see you in Lake Charles Friday morning, and safe travels on the roads.
Thanks,
Lions
Charlie.
up, everybody. East Texas A&M Lion women headed out. They got a Southland Conference date on Saturday. No, Friday, 5 o'clock. They'll be taking on the McNeese Cowgirls. We'll be there. Don't go away. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's some more Inside Lion Athletics. We haven't talked volleyball in way too long, but Joe Morales is here to fix that. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Been a week of working, as you know, working the portal a little bit, and then getting ready for convention next week. So it's been a busy week for sure.
Man,
Absolutely.
it's been a busy few weeks. You guys were just getting ready to go into the tournament, hosting that there in
Yeah.
Commerce. We disappeared and we haven't seen hide or hair of you since.
Yeah.
But it's been probably more our fault. So, tournament didn't go the way on the court that you were hoping it might. But how'd the overall thing go? What was the feedback on the Lions hosting it?
Yeah, I think the feedback was great. I think we got a lot of good feedback in the floor in particularly, like the game floor, the way the board, the video boards are, the lighting on the floor, the spacing on the floor. I thought it was really well, and it got a lot of good feedback, and it was a really good championship experience for all the teams there. Even coaches in the conference loved our floor, loved the video boards, loved how we did everything. I thought we hosted a really good tournament from all aspects of the department, from communications to facilities to administrators. Yeah, and we had a lot of space, and like teams had locker rooms that were relatively close to the court. It's not like you were going upstairs and take a ride down the hallway and into a locker room, where you were literally next to the court. Like you weren't away from the court. And I thought that was a big deal, especially for the teams. You're not like a mile away from the locker room where you can't go and during intermission. But I thought it went well. From a logistics standpoint, I thought we did our department, our school athletic department, from gym all the way down, did a tremendous job with it. And then it was a good turnout. And yeah, it didn't go as well as we wanted to in the winning column, but I thought we played well and we were playing the number one team. So I thought at the end of it, looking back, out of the three teams they played, us, UIW, and UTRGV, I thought we played them the best.
Well, you darn sure had them on the ropes there for a little bit in the
Oh, we
first
did.
match. It could, who knows where it would have gone.
Yeah, that's what I keep telling myself, don't it? Yeah.
All right, so now the tournament's over, and now it's recruiting season. because there is no off season in any sports anymore.
Really is.
Tell us a little bit about that. I think you told me that the portal just opened up Sunday for volleyball.
Yeah, so the portal opened on Sunday, and you know, we've been hitting it hard. It's not ideal, and it's not, I don't think a lot of coaches like the portal or the way it is, but it is what we have, and we have to work through it. And it's just how you navigate through it. I don't think the portal, I think the portal is getting kids in a bad situation or bad position. I think a lot of kids jump into the portal way too quickly without understanding what's on the other end, or whether they're chasing the money or chasing the glamour or the big lights. And it's tough. Like, you never, you don't know if you're going to land something. You know, I think the few, 8%, 7% of kids that get in the portal that are in the top tier of volleyball will find a spot. But if you're in a D2 situation or a low D1 situation, and you know how many freshmen are in the portal that haven't even played, have no stats, have no film. Like, how?
Where are they going to go?
Yeah, where are you going to go? Like, and I told someone this. It doesn't work. It works to trickle down, not to trickle up. And a lot of kids think it's going to work to trickle up. Like, it doesn't go that way. And I think a lot of people are naive in how that works. And so, but yes, we've been hitting it hard. We've been on it since Sunday. You know, I got on first, I think 11 p.m. to like 2 a.m. And not that I'm making calls at that time. I think that's ridiculous. But I'm taking notes and I'm getting, my database where I need to be at. And then my assistants came on it that morning. And then, and then we've been on it ever since. And it closes, it opened Sunday. And it will close on January 2nd, if I'm not mistaken, around that time.
When January 2nd, when it closes, you can still –
Right.
The students in there, but they can't get in anymore.
Right. Students won't be able to get in any longer.
Okay.
They're stuck where they're at unless they get a waiver or something from the NCAA. That is the time to get in, regardless of the only way you can get in outside the window, which is Sunday through January 2nd, is if you have a coaching change or if you're a graduate, meaning like you're getting, like you still have a year of eligibility left.
Yeah.
That's the only time you can get in. Other than that, you have to be in the window. And that's why I think a lot of kids panic a little bit because they don't know what to do and they're struggling and they jump in. And I don't think the window, I'll be on board and online, saying I'm not a big fan of how the window plays out or the timing of the window. Because we go in dead period in December 18th. And we don't get out of dead period till like January 1st or 2nd, meaning dead period, meaning we can't have any face-to-face contact, no visits. So it doesn't give the kids an ample time to visit.
Yeah.
And with the convention going on next week, Final Four, all of the volleyball coaches are going to be out there doing their professional development. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard to get kids in and out in an ample time. Right before Christmas. And what are kids doing right now, Charlie? What are kids focusing on right now? Finals.
Like, packing up, getting out of the dorm room.
So like trying to get business in during that time, it's really difficult. And then you get them in January, right? Say you get them in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how fast can the school get them in before January 13th to start the first day of classes, right?
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a lot of parameters that just don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know football deals with even more because their season goes beyond it. Like, their window doesn't open until January 2nd.
Right.
I don't know how they're going to do it,
And that one's going to be open for about that long.
Yeah. And school starts in a week after that. Like, that's another mess. But, it is what we have right now, and we just have to navigate it the best we can and find the best fit for our programs moving forward. And, when I recruit kids, I want to still recruit character and personality and good people that can come in and produce at this level. And I want kids that want to be at East Texas, and I want kids that want to graduate from East Texas and have a great experience here and want to win. I don't like the kids that just come in for one and done and a stepping stone to get to the next level. Like, I'm going to bypass those kids. And so we got to do our due diligence with that as much as possible, because we are protecting our brand. We're protecting the Lionhead. We're protecting the winning standard and kids that want to be part of ET. So, yeah, but we're working hard. I mean, Emily was at it till I think 12 midnight last night. You know, I see her emails going out and we're working hard with that and we're trying to find a good fit. And I think we have a lot of good potentials coming that, you know, that's like I tell people, and it's the old John Wooden saying, right, that I always live by, you know, we don't want to rush, but we have to hurry.
Yep.
There's
a lot of good in anything he published.
Yeah,
there?
Absolutely. So let me
ask you this if I can, Coach. So few of us outside of the coaching profession ever understand what is in the portal. And I got a glance at it. Coach King showed me one day and it looks more like a phone book.
It does.
Than it does anything else. And y'all have a lot of digging to do. I mean, it's Google a player's name plus volleyball to find out even anything about them on the court. Yeah. So
that's a misconception, you know, a lot of people have that don't understand the portal. The portal is not a recruiting service. It's not something where I can go in and I can categorize them from position.
Yeah.
Level. It's not that. It's literally a compliance and academic tool.
Okay.
And so for me to find out how good the kid is, what position the kid is, I have to literally, like you said, Google him, find a name on the roster, if they still have it on the roster, because a lot of teams will take them off the roster, and then find the film that or the games that they played, and then look at that film through our volumetrics. And I mean, a lot of them don't even have volumetrics, right? Because a lot of them didn't play this year. So, you know, like how many freshmen are in the portal that never played that are on the portal already because they're not patient. And so and then I'm looking at their high school or their club film from their senior year. Mm-hmm. And it's always a discrepancy there. Yes, this kid's here, but she did practice 1 year with the D1 team, but you don't have any film on that. So it's kind of getting them on the phone, finding out what they have. A lot of kids will use their practice film and make little highlights and put it on there. And, you know, and then I can figure that out. They'll use their old platform, whether it's Field Level or Sports Recruits that they used when they were getting recruited the first time. And they'll put it on there and I'll go look at it. But a lot of it's digging. A lot of it's like hands-on for us coaching staff. Like we have to really do the work. We can go pay a platform to help us out, but I don't think we're there, Charlie. Like we're not Texas. We're not Nebraska. I can't just throw $1,200 for a week's worth of work that we can do. And so we're blue collar mentality, right? So we're just going to do the work ourselves and do the best that we can. And you know, we got three staff members on it. And so that's what it is. And I think a lot of people get confused about what the portal is. It's not a recruiting service at all. So.
Yeah. So somebody went into the portal a year ago and they didn't get picked up. Are they still in there?
They're still in there. Yeah, they're still in there.
They can last forever or just fade away.
Yeah, well, they're going to be all the way down in the bottom of the barrel. So you got to really look at that. You know, they can, what a lot of kids will do is they would withdraw from the portal and then go back on so they can get back on the top of the list. The way it works is sequential. So when you get in, you're in the top, and then as people get in, you're moving down, right? So, you know, when I got on at 11 p.m. at night on Saturday night, and I'm assuming people were on it because of a time zone difference, you know, I had two pages full. So I was working on the two pages, and each page is about 50 kids. Mm-hmm. But by the time I finished, it was four or five pages already. You know, by the time 2 a.m. would roll around, it's six pages. By the time Emily gets on, it's nine pages, you know, that's 50 kids per page. And so those kids that are getting on, if you were on page one at 11 p.m. on Saturday, by Sunday at 11 p.m., you're on page nine, you know.
Wow. Okay.
And so you're just going through it. And it's, yeah, you can categorize it by institution, by sport. You can put a name if you're looking for a certain kid, you can type in their name and it'll come out. But if you don't have any of that, like you're just going through it. And so it's you got to really work the portal. You got to really, really dive in. And it's, you know, like I said, my assistants have been at it and they, you know, they'll be at work doing what they need to, and then they go home and they're doing it again. And so it's tasking for sure.
Dig, dig, dig. Yeah. It's not just a volleyball term.
It's
right?
not. And I think a lot of kids get in the portal for the wrong reasons, whether it's external factors, like mom and dad think you can do better, or club director is saying, oh, you can go do this, you can leave this school. And here's the thing, like the kid could be totally happy at the school and every moment of it. But the minute they hear chirping in their ear from mom and dad or club director or high school coach, or you can go bigger and you can do this, then they get their head swollen and they're like, oh yeah, I'm better than when I am. I need to leave and I'm going to go. And I think I could go P4. It's devastating.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And here's the silver lining. Like there's a lot of kids that don't get matriculated.
Yeah.
Like, they don't find a school. They don't. So you had a team and you left and now you're not on a team, you know? And that's the sad thing about that. Like, you know, the grass is not green on the other side.
No.
You know,
sometimes you have to wait to get back on a team and be the radio broadcaster right. for it.
Yeah.
Man. That's what it is.
Yeah. And if it is, and if it, the grass is green on the other side, well, why don't you do something different? Why don't you water your yard?
Yeah,
you know? Absolutely. Take some pride in it, you know? And I think that's it's always a hard concept. And I think the kids are getting younger and younger for that. And, you know, you could always guide them, but you can't make the decision for them.
Yeah.
And you can paint a picture of what it might look like. Mm-hmm. And that's still not going to get in sync in, and they're still going to do what they want to do. And so it's where
well, they're young, they're impressionable, and
yeah.
they have high hopes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I can't imagine if, you know, and like at the elite levels, like a lot of kids are leaving for money. Simply put, if you're at the high level, you're leaving for money. Like I looked at Tennessee, I think University of Tennessee, who made the tournament, is losing like 5 to 7 kids, all of them good,
mm-hmm.
like really good. And they made the tournament.
Wow. You know,
and some kids are using the excuse, well, why I want to win a national championship. Guys, there's only one team that wins.
Yeah.
Like, what are the odds you're going to make a team that wins? It's heartbreaking. Like, try to find success in what you're doing there. And I think success is so relative. And I think kids don't understand that.
All right. Well, keep working on their heads as well as their skills, Joe.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
That's how it all works out the best.
Well, we're getting after it. We're getting after it. And, you know, we're going to put a good team together, and we're going to put a team that's going to represent East Texas A&M. And we're looking to go further in the conference tournament next year for sure.
All right, man. Let's lines up. Always good to visit with you, my friend.
You too, my man.
Come see us at a ball game.
Yes, absolutely. Basketball season. Here we go. Here we
All
go.
All right, man.
Looking forward to it.
We'll see you on campus, friend.
Thank
Folks,
you,
that's going to do it for this segment of Inside Lion Athletics. We got a little bit more to go. Men's basketball will be up next. Stick around. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to some more Inside Lion Athletics. We're going to wrap up this week's edition with head coach Jarrett Von Rosenberg. Lions have won 4 of their last 5. And, coach, the only one that you took a ding on was up at 5th-ranked UConn. They might have been happy up there. They sure weren't happy out in Vegas, though, were they?
Yeah, you know, it was. I want to give our guys, staff, everybody a lot of credit. That was a really tough scheduling you know, not only were we on the East Coast the week before, we go right back up there, and then the quick turnaround to play a 5 o'clock Sunday game after playing a Friday night on the East Coast. It was impressive, you know, and we could see it on film. We didn't quite have our legs. You know, guys were just moving a little bit slower. So the travel definitely affected us physically, but did a heck of a job of finding a way to, you know, win a game when we weren't at our best, when it comes to just physicality, not necessarily, you know, offense or defense, but, you know, to come back. The staff did a great job on quick turnaround, getting our guys prepared, and then the guys battled through fatigue or whatever you want to call it, and still found a way to get a win.
So they had that big come from behind win up in Jersey in the first game of that little set with FDU. There's probably some that they were able to draw from individually to get them over the hump on Sunday night's game.
Well, I just think we're getting better. This is a team that has the ability to get better, and we've got to continue to do that. You know, we always say make new mistakes. You know, so there's some things from UConn that we quickly touched on. We knew we had to get right to Central. But the way Central plays offensively presents a lot of challenges, and defensively they do some things. So, you know, we had to get prepared for a different style, and our guys did that. Wasn't perfect by any stretch, but, you know, like I think we gave 24 of the first 28 points they scored were on back cuts. And, you know, that might seem like terrible, but when a team, we want to make teams beat us the way we want to, not the way they practice every day. So a team that wants to shoot threes, play on the perimeter, play with flow and pace and continuity offensively, we really took them out of that. And it showed in the box score when you just look at not only how many threes they got off, but when they finally got a look, it wasn't clean and they didn't go down for them.
Coach, y'all struggled on the boards in the first half and were down a good handful or more, but you ended up the game up 38-33. Was there anything that y'all did different in the second half, or was it just emphasis on stick with what we're supposed to do?
Yeah, we didn't get back cut as much. You know, we made them take shots over us, so it gives us opportunities to get defensive rebounds. You know, when you're taking ball out of the net, you're not going to get a whole lot of rebounds. And then in the first half offensively, we didn't make them guard. You know, we kind of took the bait. They play pack line where they really pack it in and over helping gaps. So you can get a shot after one pass, but you know, we didn't get sides and make them guard multiple actions. Once we did that, it opened up. Now we get them playing from behind. So now we have a chance to get offensive rebounds, and the shots go in at a higher clip. So I think that was really why the rebounding was different. But it was our best half of rebounding probably of the season. You know, did a nice job blocking out and finishing plays above the rim.
Gianni Hunt had a pretty good evening, 21 points, 5 boards, and a game-high 7 assists. He's proven to be a pretty nice get, Coach.
Yeah, no, and he's still – I still think he's not playing his best basketball. I still think he's got room to continue to grow. He's getting more comfortable not only with us, myself, but he's getting more comfortable in our offense and then getting more comfortable with your teammates. That only comes from game-time experience. You know, it's really hard to simulate a game in practice. So that experience and those minutes, he continues to do some really good things. And, you know, his points are going to fluctuate depending on the defense, but we always can count on him. And he knows that his job is to get the ball to our talented offensive players and help them be successful.
How about that nice little lob pass from the baseline when he inbounded and Ronnie just sneaked up through everybody? I couldn't believe after the game, I asked Ronnie to show me where he started from on that inbounds play that he dunked.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
and then when I saw it on film, everybody was, they weren't even looking at it.
Talking to G and Ronnie were the ones that, that saw that identified that. It had nothing to do. I can't take any credit for that play. They had been the way they had been guarding the out of bounds. Those guys told me, that they keep backing up. And so that gave us that opportunity to make that play. It was in a critical time. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like to cap a night, a good night of basketball. That was really important juncture in the game. I believe the game was 4 points at that time or something like that. So to get a bucket right there, don't have to run any offense or anything, but just throw it and get a lob. Not only is it exciting play, but really efficient.
Very good. Coach, going into conference play, you start out with the team that has won it the last 2 years, but they're a little bit different now. The McNeese Cowboys no longer have Will Wade and company. But they got a lot of players, good players still back.
Yeah, they returned the player of the year. And they're, it's kind of weird. They're different, but they're the same. You know, Coach Armstrong does a really good job. He's coached for a long time. I've known him for a long time. This is just his first Division I head coaching opportunity, but he's played and coached at the highest levels. And he's always been known to be a heck of a recruiter. And that hasn't changed. They got really talented players to mix in with those returners that have been through the Southland battles, and they know what it looks like. So they're doing a lot of the same stuff schematically, because he worked with Will, and they did a lot of same stuff together. So it is a different feel a little bit, but there is a lot of similarities to the last couple teams that they've had over at McNeese.
It's probably going to be a little bit different when we go to Hammond for Monday night's game against Southeastern. Any thoughts on the other Lions in the Southland Conference?
Well, they're just really well coached. They're one of the few teams that I, for some reason, just haven't caught really maybe more than 2 or 3 minutes of their game. So I haven't dove into them yet. But I know that they're going to be tough nosed. They're going to play fast offensively. You know, he does a really good job of getting guys to buy into a system and execute a system. So you kind of know what you're going to get even before you put the film on. So it's going to be a really tough game. I mean, both opponents really well coached, established in the Southland as being successful. So to start conference, we definitely have our work cut out for us.
All right, work cut out for you or not, Coach. You're going in having won 4 or 5. Let me say that again. It's got to be a great feeling for you guys, because the last few years, you know, it's like, we just got to get through this grind and get to conference. It's a little different feeling.
Yeah, and we talked before we came on air. Our league is highest rated KenPom it's ever been. Our league's really good. It was great for us to learn how to win some games with a new team. You still got to learn how to win. You know, everyone's got talented players, but every game has a new, you know, every game's a new situation and takes a life of its own. So each and every game, whether it's a high scoring game, low scoring game, however the game presents itself, you got to find a way to win. So it's been great for us to do that. You know, we've come from behind. We've played, obviously, Central Arkansas. No one had a lead bigger than 5 or 6. We went back and forth. So we've been in multiple games and learned how to win them. And that's what's probably most important, because I have a feeling every night in conference, it's going to be a dogfight. And, you know, hopefully we have a chance to win a lot of them there in that last 4 minutes. And then we got to go execute and get it done.
All right. Sounds like a plan to me. Coach, thanks so much for your time today. We need to line up here and let everybody else get on about their day too.
You got it. Go Lions.
All right, folks. Lion men are going to be taking on McNeese. That's Friday night, about 7:30-ish after the women's game that starts at 5. And then on Monday evening, 7 p.m., we'll be live on the floor in Hammond, America. See you there, Coach.
You got it. Go Lions.